Isn't it true? Isn't it so true that the toughest job in the world is being mom? I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that I didn't have an option to join up to be mom. I want to just bless every mom who's here right now as we get started by asking you to stand. If you're a mother, if you've ever been pregnant, if you have stood in a motherly way with someone, I want you to stand. Let's give those give them all a round of applause. We love you. You fill a very special role. We love you so much. Have a seat. So the scripture for today, if we can flip that to the PowerPoint, is my son, it's in Proverbs 6, 20 and 21. It says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your hearts forever. Fasten them around your neck. In other words, mama's teachings go beyond today. They go beyond tomorrow and next month. A mom's job is the toughest mom in the world. Is the toughest job in the world. Let's see. Did that go? It was working well ago. Okay, so we're going to have someone flip. Sorry. So the next one. Someone said God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. I don't believe that's true, but moms seem to be everywhere. They seem to have eyes in the back of their heads and have the sixth sense of just knowing and knowing what to do and what to be. Think about this. If mom hadn't been there for you, you wouldn't know how to eat. Now, I love to eat. I'm so thankful that my mom's here. You can see my mom and dad here in the green and red, and they're going to continue to wave. So, mom, I have mom's smile and my father's hairdo. So, it's not funny. It's sad, really. But she taught me to eat, and thank goodness for all my friends that she taught me to potty, right? And to dress. Imagine if your mom wasn't there and you didn't even know how to dress and you put the wrong clothes on in the wrong time. To clean. And, you know, Deborah had to fix some of that. But anyway, cook. She taught me how to make friends even whenever I was scared. And she taught me how to go for being social and being around people that I liked. But she also taught me how to deal with enemies. And how to deal with those people who aren't so kind sometimes in life. Yeah, mom's job is the toughest job in the world. And her job, mom's real job, is to work herself out of a job. To push the chicks out of the nest someday. So that they leave. And it's so hard for them to do. In fact, it's very painful. And that's why God created adolescence. It helps mom say goodbye. Please. Please. I'm going to miss you. I'll pray for you, but leave. Moms do the best that they can with everything that they've got to give their children the best shot in life. I think there's two big things that they really go for. One is that their children will be better at life than they were. And that they'll have more success in whatever that is in life than they had. Relationships and education and friendships, maybe in status, socioeconomic, or whatever. And so I thought about, when I think about moms, I think about the three big prayers that godly moms pray. I want to give those to you today, the three big prayers. The first is mom's prayer. Moms pray that children will have a relationship with God. That children will have a relationship with God. It begins even before they're born. Like during the prenatal years, we're praying for this baby, for the health of the baby, and that someday they'll grow up to be a Christian and they'll know God. We're thankful to God as this a beautiful thing that loves me no matter what, although it cries and screams sometimes, is in our life. We're so thankful. And then in the toddler years, we begin to teach them to pray, to put their hands together, right, at mealtime, and to say a simple prayer. And we help them sing songs to know God, like, Jesus loves me, this I know, and all of those baby songs. And then their elementary school years, moms are about teaching them the Bible stories that speak about God's love for his people over the generations and how much that even though they messed up, God still loved them just the way mamas do their children. And really, during those elementary school years, forming what is the right and wrong, that moral compass that will guide them throughout the rest of their life. And in the teen years, we just pray that they lead and not follow, that their core that we've put into them and that we prayed into them will survive the peer group and the culture of today. And as young adults, we find that although we want to tell them what to do and how to guide them, that we really have no control over what they choose and what they and how they act. And yet we a godly mom is still praying that they will come to know God in a way that is permanent in their life, that they will lean on him and in their doubt say, God, even in my faithfulness, in my doubt, let me grow closer to you. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, the scripture doesn't say, start them off in the way they should go, and they will never, ever sin, or that they will ever make decisions that you disagree with, Mom. It just says that when they're old, they won't forget about it. It'll still be there with them. So you have great influence in how you pray for your children to come to know God. You've heard the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You have great influence in them knowing God. The second prayer is that godly moms pray their children will know the person God intends them to marry. That God will be protecting and be with the mate even before we know them. And we started praying that prayer even prenatally. I remember early prayers with our baby we don't even know if they understood what we were saying, with little infants of Blake and Brooke, that they would grow up and they would someday find and marry a Christian. And we prayed that prayer with them at night and in the morning and at lunchtime. And one day when it came time for Brooke to go to school, it was a tough day, and she went off to kindergarten for the first day. I was about helping Mama let Brooke go to school. As we prepared Brooke to go to school, Brooke came home from school that afternoon, and she was so sad. She was crying. And Mom said, what's wrong? And she said, I met Christian, and I don't like him. I don't want to marry him. He's in my class. But we prayed for each of them, Blake and Brooke, to find that Christian mate, that God would be with those parents as they're forming them and growing, and that we would know whenever, that our children would know whenever they find that special person for them. Genesis 2:24 says, a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So we want to pray. We want to pray that they leave the nest and that they leave the nest and join with and making a new nest somewhere else. And that they are, and that we still have that relationship with them. They're connected to God and they're connected to another person who knows God in their life. We don't get to choose our children's spouse. We don't get to choose our children's mate. It's not the culture. We can't legally do it, and we can't, even though we may want to, but mamas, you've got to let them find them. And it's true. It's true that it'll be hard for you to ever say that your little boy or girl can be loved more by somebody else than you do. It'll be hard to say that. But someday, there may be that person that comes into their life that they've chosen that we need to bless. We need to welcome and bless. So the third prayer, mom's prayer for children, is the third prayer of godly moms is for moms pray for children to know and live in their God-given purpose. To know and live in their God-given purpose. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Oh, we have poured into our children, and I've seen Devra as the mom of my kids, the most perfect mom that my kids could have ever had. Devra, you are that. Yeah. I have seen you pour into our kids to educate them beyond what the teachers do at school, to make sure that they know that there's a difference between what's taught sometimes in the public schools and what the Bible says, and that our kids know what that is. To pour into them exposure to as many different types of jobs and careers that they could have. And to watch for their gifts and talents and say, oh, my boy could do that. Yeah, my daughter, she's really gifted in this area. And to tell other people and to champion for them and to reinforce it. But in the end, when they're in teens and in their young adulthood, it's their will about what they do. It's their choice about what career path they will take. And they may chase the wrong things, very well may chase things that are not in God's purpose or God's will for their life. Proverbs 19:21 says that they won't prevail. They won't prevail. It is God's purpose in their life that will prevail, and the other things will not work for them. They won't find happiness there. They won't find purpose there. They won't find meaning there. I don't think God will bless it over the long haul. And what is powerful is that moms know that every moment of every hour of every day, that it is precious, that we don't know how long it's going to be there for us. We don't know how long that we're going to have them. And moms have a special locus of energy toward the long term. First to the eternal, and then second to the long term. So mom's advice isn't always about what's cool now. It's about what's going to make it work in the long haul. She has the long term view. Because there will come a time for everyone. There will come a time for everyone when it's our final day. We're not promised even tomorrow. And we're not promised today. And mama's advice, a godly mom, is about focusing on the long term for their child, to live in God's purpose and in the eternal for them to live, to be in eternity with them. Life is so precious. James 4:14 says, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So listen to mom. Remember that in every computer that's ever been made so far, there's something in there that guides everything it does. It's called the motherboard. The motherboard. And all of the stuff that mama poured into us is in there somewhere. And we need to listen to it, connect with that motherboard, and listen to what she says, and follow ours. So what do we need to do? If we're not moms, what do we need to do? So God commands us to honor our moms. And this guy, it looks like, chose, is that, can you see that picture? He chose a tattoo to honor his mom. Whatever. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is that promise? That promise is long life. Long life in the land that God has given us, in the realm that he has given us. So there is a benefit for us to honor our moms. And so we honor our moms with our ways and our words. Honor your mom with your ways and your words. So if you're a child or an adolescent or a minor or dependent in some way, the Bible tells us real clearly, obey mama. Like, do what she says. Even if we don't want to, obey mom. So what do you do if you're an adolescent or a child? Obey mom. One more time. What do you do if you're an adolescent or a child?
Obey.
That's right. I hear some mamas say, amen. All right. But what if we're not a child or adolescent? How do we honor mom? I think we honor mom with first really listening, like hearing her. We have two ears and one mouth. So listening to her and hearing her. There's something in what she's saying that can be a real gift for us if we hear. The second is to just be with her, to be present with, to sit with. I'm going to tell a story on my mom. A couple of years ago, it seemed like it didn't matter how often I called her. She would always say, well, I just miss you so much. And sometimes I would call her in the morning and I'd call her in the evening. She was, well, I haven't heard from you in so long. And so I knew that she was feeling like she needed more time with me. I had an appointment in the medical district, which was about an hour drive. So I got on the phone with her as I left my house. And along the way, we had a traffic jam. So I ended up being on the phone with her an hour and 45 minutes. I never said, I need to go. I never said, I need to get off the phone. I just waited for her to say when it was time. At an hour and 45 minutes, as I drove up to the place, I said, Mom, I love you, but I've arrived at my next meeting, and I'm going to have to get off the phone. She said, oh, so soon? Hour and 45. There is no way that you can be with Mom more than she needs it. So we need to be with Mom. We need to be with. And then we need to do instead of promise, or to show instead of tell. We need to do instead of promise and show instead of tell. What I mean by that is sometimes we tell mom or other important people in our life, well, I'm going to get this straight in my life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop that bad habit. I'm going to quit this particular thing. And I just want to encourage you to stop telling her that and just go do it and show her. Yeah, I'm going to get over and I'm going to clean the leaves off of your roof or whatever it is. Don't promise. Just go do and be with him. And last is to tell her how much you love her. I'm reminded of a joke that my father, I got my humor from my father, that my father told me once about a farmer couple, been married 20 years, and they came in, and the pastor said, what's going on? And she said, well, I just don't feel like he loves me anymore. I mean, I can't even remember. When was the last time he told me that he loves me? And he said, he looked to the farmer, and he said, well, what do you say for that? He said, well, I told her I loved her when I married her. If it changes, I'll let her know. Yeah, it's horrible. Mamas need to hear, I love you, and not just assume that she knows that I love you. We need to tell her, and we need to show her that we love her in the different ways. So it's beyond just telling her that you love her. One of the most powerful ways that you can tell her is to tell her what it is that you love about her. And maybe it's some of the things that were on the video, these wonderful long list of things that moms do that nobody else in the world wants to do. And maybe it is some character or something about their heart. It is who she is as a person that you really love. So tell her, and you can tell her in written ways and send her a video or write her a note or face to face. We celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. All the kids were together, and my wife cried. She cried because they gave her a jar, and in the jar were 100 things that they had written on separate pieces of paper that they love about her, that they're thankful for her. A gift beyond any measure, you know, beyond any. And the value of that was probably less than $5. But it was really like the MasterCard commercial, priceless for her. So that was another lesson for dads, is like when she cries, it's not always bad. So, okay. But here's what it says in Proverbs 23:22. It says, listen to your father and mother who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. And we're told to honor her. In Deuteronomy 5:16, to honor her. It doesn't say honor your mom if she was a good mom. It doesn't say honor your mom if she was a godly mom. It doesn't say honor your mom if she was a perfect mom, because there are no perfect moms. Even mamas trip up, right? I remember a mom who called me one day, and she said, oh no, I left my 2.5-year-old in the car, and she ran over the gazebo. You remember, she had accidentally slipped it in the drive. Yeah, even great moms make mistakes. But we're told to honor our mom. And we honor our mom even if she wasn't a godly mom, by at the minimum not speaking ill of her, of withholding the negativity about her, and to give the grace, love, and forgiveness that we receive in our relationship with God, to give her forgiveness and love. You know, it's amazing that I've worked with people in their 50s and 60s who still have so much bitterness in their heart toward mom. And I ask about, is she still alive now? Yes, sometimes. And they tell me, I say, what is she like? Well, today she's, and they describe her, she's a likable person. So maybe she did something that you disagreed with. Maybe it was even evil as when you were a child. She's not that same person anymore. So connect with her as an adult now and forgive and work on that bitterness in your heart about that with mom or others. Even Jesus said we need to pray for our enemies. So at the very least, you honor mom by praying for her, even if it was a negative experience. So Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother as the Lord God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord God is giving you. I hope that there's something there for you today in this lesson. I hope that there's something that has been beneficial for you, something that is going to create action for you. Now, some of you need to make a phone call today. Some of you need to go make a visit today. Or maybe just spend some time in prayer. Some of you need to say, Mom, I'm sorry I haven't been obeying you. Or that I haven't honored you. Some of you need to write that love letter to your mom, telling her all the many ways that you love about her heart and about who she is. I want to pray for you.